Hey.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We have two wars waging here, the one in Europe involving Ukraine and Russia now appears to be expanding to include Poland, which is a horrific development that suggests a world war in the making. This is the pattern we have seen in the past historically, with world wars emerging as other countries become involved. But also the war right here at home, where I'm very pleased to have as my featured guest today, Stephen Francis, who's an expert on cultural Marxism, which is the really systematic deconstruction of a nation's culture, its traditions, its values, to impose a form of socialism, communism, really right out of the Marxist playbook. He will be here after the break. I'm going to begin, however, with these latest developments that I regard as ominous as any yet. Hundreds of tanks and armored vehicles have been moved from the U.S. to Romania and Poland, with Russian authorities on the alert. The scene being set up on the Polish-Ukraine and Romania-Ukraine border is reminiscent of preparations for a major war. The Russians are openly talking about the creation of a Polish-Ukrainian confederation that'll be based on the special status granted by Zelensky to Polish citizens and will serve NATO's plans in the region. This is like treating Ukraine as though it were a member of NATO by bringing in NATO forces. The first goal is the invasion of these forces into Western Ukraine, and then an uprising, an overthrow of Lukashenko in Belarus. 700 tanks and armored vehicles, such as M2 Bradley, M113, and M1A2 Abrams, were unloaded at the port of Gdynia in Poland. At the same time, an unspecified number of American units were also deployed in Romania, along with several French Leclerc tanks. They were transported aboard the ship Integrity and will reinforce the U.S. Army's 1st Infantry Division. According to Polish media, The transfer of the equipment takes place within the framework of the Atlantic Resolve program, which was launched in 2014 and aims to strengthen the American presence in Europe. Remember now, 2014 is the year of the Ukrainian uprising, where Victoria Nuland engineered a coup to drive out the democratically elected president of Ukraine, who was friendly to Russia, and install a pro-Western puppet of whom Zelensky is the successor. And it was at that time in 2014 that Kiev adopted a policy of aggression toward the Donetsk region by the Donbass region by beginning shelling of Luhansk and Donetsk, killing thousands of ethnically Russian-speaking individuals who are strong supporters of Russia, where Ukraine had, of course, historically been part of Russia. It was Zbigniew Brzezinski who, in his book, The Grand Chessboard, suggested that if the West could pry Ukraine away from Russia, because Ukraine was a breadbasket providing much of the foodstuff for Russia, that it would greatly weaken the bear. At the same time now, a larger batch of military equipment from the United States is expected to arrive in January. According to the Polish newspaper, the U.S. military equipment was delivered to the base of the 2nd Armored Brigade, which has been stationed in Poland since 2017. So you have a massive military, U.S. military presence already there. In addition to M1A2 Abrams tanks, M2 Bradley fighting vehicles were delivered, as well as M13 113 armored personnel carriers in various versions, along with other equipment. It is supposed that within 2 weeks, all this armament will be distributed among the military bases located in different parts of Poland. At the same time, Russian military experts are focusing on the future fate of American armored vehicles and tanks. It is known that some of them will participate in joint exercises, while the others may be transferred to Ukraine. Note, M1A2 Abrams tanks have long been a dream of the Ukrainian leadership. However, until recently, the United States has refused to supply this equipment to Kiev, fearing an escalation of the conflict between Ukraine and the Russian Federation. Apparently now, those fears have disappeared. Polish-Ukrainian Confederation target Belarus. The Russian media continue to report. The main logistic hub for supplying the armed forces of Ukraine has long been neighboring Poland and the Polish border town of Rzeszów. Also, the NATO bloc has begun to diversify the risk, turning Romania into the 2nd most important arms hub. Western Ukraine is a critical point where the interests of many regional and global actors converge. Whoever controls Galicia, Volhynia, and Transcarpathia determines the future of the rest of the region. So far, the main claimant of Western Ukraine is Warsaw. How far Poland is advancing Ukraine can be proven by the fact that Polish special forces are already setting their own rules, and not somewhere in the West, but in the area of Dnipropetrovsk. According to information received from our sources in the armed forces of Ukraine, a unit consisting of soldiers of the Special Services and Special Forces of Poland, dressed in Ukrainian uniforms, arrived in the city of Marganets. Their main task is to carry out liquidation of persons who provide, as they say, assistance to Russia. In other words, they're to assassinate civilians. We have already talked about the threat a hypothetical Polish-Ukrainian confederation could pose to Russia. It may pose an even greater threat to neighboring Belarus. The fact is that Belarus is the next target for the Western partners, and almost everything is ready for the overthrow of the government in Minsk. In 2014, The formation of the Tactical Group Belarus began, consisting of Belarusian nationalists who participated in the conflict in Donbass on the side of Kiev. Note that they acted along the lines of the Ukrainian right sector. In 2016, a monument to Belarusians who lost their lives in the war against Russia was erected in Kiev. In 2022, the activities of this organization became more active again. Lots of photographs here of unloading these tanks from the ships bringing them in. Also in February of 2022, this now remembers only but 10 months ago, the Belarusian volunteer battalion named Kastos Kalinowski was formed, which later turned into a regiment. In other words, about four times the size. It included many Belarusian nationalists from the Belarus Tactical Group, other nationalist organizations, as well as representatives of the Belarusian immigration policy. This battalion actively fought against the Russian troops defending Kiev and northern Ukraine. The creation of this armed group was welcomed by Svetlana Tikhanskoyaya. In addition to nationalist units, after the events of 2020, an extremist bipole group appeared in Belarus, recognized by the Supreme Court of the Republic of Belarus as a terrorist group consisting of former law enforcement officers. Its representatives consider Svetlana Tikhanskoyaya as a legitimate president of the Republic of Belarus and engage in subversive activities in their country. In February 2021, a real railway war began in Belarus when massive sabotage was committed on the railway in order to prevent the transport and supply of the Russian Armed Forces Group during the war in Ukraine. It was the terrorists from Bipol who were behind this destructive activity. As Poland's plan for Western Ukraine progressed and materialized, so do the dangers for Belarus itself. It appears that the point of no return will be Poland's eventual invasion of Bulyan and Galicia. Then the terrorist structure prepared in advance for Belarus will take action. Serious, serious stuff. As I understand it, in essence, Zelensky has promised Poland a chunk of Western Ukraine if they will join in the effort against Russia. And I guarantee you 100%, this has all the indications of multinational, truly international war breaking out in Europe. In other words, it appears to me this is the most telling sign yet that World War III is going to take place in relation to Ukraine, that in spite of all of Russia's restraint, in spite of their desire simply to secure their borders, even though they made it exactly clear precisely what they have wanted from the beginning, go back to Vladimir Putin's initial speech on February 24th, explain why they had no choice but to undertake the special military operation, which has now been supplemented by the additional information that Ukraine was planning an all-out assault on the Donbass for March. So that by executing his interdiction on the 24th of February, Putin essentially beat them to the punch. He could not allow a massive military operation to take place in the Donbass. That would have been catastrophic. Meanwhile, Lavrov, U.S. seeking to make conflict in Ukraine even more violent. Russia's foreign minister highlighted that Ukraine is fully aware of Russian demands and could simply meet them. The U.S. and NATO are attempting to beat Russia on the battlefield in order to destroy the country, Russia's foreign minister said. Sergey Lavrov, and this guy is among the most experienced diplomats in the world and one of the best Russia has ever had representing itself, going back even to the Soviet Union, made the remark late Monday, according to the ITARTAS news agency, adding that Ukraine is fully aware of Russia's demands and could simply meet them to end the war. Our proposals for the demilitarization and denazification of the territories controlled by the Kiev regime and the elimination of threats to Russia's security emanating from there, including our new lands, that would mean Donetsk, Luhansk, and Crimea, of course, are well known to the enemy, Lavrov said, adding, the point is simple. Fulfill them for your own good. Otherwise, the issue will be decided by the Russian army. According to him, the main party that benefits from this conflict is the United States, which has been seeking to make the most out of the war in Ukraine. I would say, in this case, the United States is merely the pawn, the lackey, the servile servant of Israel. The Zionists want to create a new homeland in Ukraine, remember, as I've reported dozens of times, the present-day occupants of Israel, over 90% are Ashkenazi Jews who are descendants from the region now known as Ukraine. They are not descendants of the tribe of Judah. This means they're not even Semites, which since the Palestinians are Semites, means ironically it turns out that Israel is the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism the world has ever known. And remember now, too, new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of even that of the United States, so that Jamie Raskin has declared that the United States must go all out and use all its resources to protect Israel, no matter what the cost to the United States. That is the plan, to fight a war for Israel to the last American soldier. I'm sure I've mentioned before, my dear colleague Gary King years ago asked me, did I know how many members of the then current Congress had refused to sign the pledge? And when I admitted I did not, he held out one finger of one hand. Only one member of the then current Congress had refused to sign the plan, the pledge. Our Congress is Israeli occupied territory. The Zionists are running our foreign policy. Washington, Lavrov continues, has also been solving a key geopolitical goal of breaking the traditional bonds between Russia and Europe and making their European satellites even more dependent upon them, Lavrov emphasized, further adding the U.S. is currently planning orders for its defense sector for years to come. In other words, the military-industrial complex is salivating over all the weapons, all the tanks, all the planes, all the artillery. They're going to be able to market to NATO as a consequence of these increased tensions and a potential war looming. Except I have news for them. If this breaks out, if Russia is forced to respond, it will be all out. It will be a massive retaliation. No one is going to be spared. The Russians have missiles with independently targetable warheads, 15 apiece. One could take out France. One. And these weapons cannot be stopped. The West does not have the ability to stop a massive retaliation or preemptive strike by Russia. And I guarantee you 100%, and Colonel McGregor, retired, has offered an analysis with precisely the same point. Russia is not going to be mamby-pamby. There's not going to be a limited nuclear war. If Russia is forced to retaliate in self-defense, it's going to be all out. It's going to be calamitous. All the NATO nations in the United States are going to be taken out. I guarantee you 100%. And because of the effects, the residual effects of a nuclear strike of this magnitude, I predict half the world's population, will not be able to survive. Within 6 months, the effects will be calamitous. So here we have people who are playing games. They think they can push Russia around. Well, I guarantee you 100%. Russia cannot be pushed around. Russia has learned. Go all the way back to Ronald Reagan's negotiation with the Soviet Union. And I personally know the special ambassador, Lee Wanta, who negotiated with Gorbachev. I know him. We guaranteed Gorbachev that the West would not encroach one inch to the east. One inch to the east. That is what our Secretary of State at the time, Baker, said. Not one inch to the east. And what have we done? At the time, there were 13, 14 NATO nations. Now they're over 30. Well, where do you think they all came from? Taking over one of these newly sovereign nations after another. Well, Russia cannot allow this to continue. Russia cannot allow to have tactical nuclear weapons on its border in Ukraine. I guarantee you 100% Russia is in the right here. Legally, morally, politically, Russia is in the right. Here's Lavrov continuing. The Kiev regime is being pumped up with the latest weapons, receiving samples that have yet to enter into service with Western armies, seemingly in order to see how they'll perform in combat. Moscow said it began the war to protect the pro-Russian population in the eastern Ukraine regions of Luhansk and Donetsk from Kiev's persecution, as well as to denazify its neighbor. All completely right. Further observations. Lavrov anticipates the demise of Western economic dominance. He's absolutely spot on about this, too. Russian foreign minister notes that Russia will not be running after the U.S., but will rather meet with other nations that do not let them down once promises have been made. On Monday, Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov predicted the West will lose its dominant position in the global economic hierarchy. He's got it right. According to Russian media, the revision of risks and threats stemming from such dependence on the Western leadership is progressing rapidly. I assure you, we will soon see the West's capacity to steer the global economy shrink drastically. And he's talking about BRICS. He's talking about the Shanghai Cooperative Organization. Like 75% of the world population is going to be allied in these economic arrangements, and the rest are going to be left to wither and die on the vine. The petrodollar is already all but dead. Remember, after Nixon took us off of the gold standard, what propped us up was the fact that the dollar was being used for exchange with regard to oil transactions worldwide. That's no longer the case. The petrodollar is being abandoned. It no longer has the status it once held. Many nations, according to Lavrov, grew disillusioned with the West after first viewing the instruments and mechanisms at its disposal as encouraging a global balance of interests. For Russia, however, since Russia-U.S. bilateral relations have deteriorated, Russia has come to distrust the West, as well it should. We will not be running after the West after it severed almost all ties. We will seek out those who have never let us down and with whom we have had to make difficult compromises in the past. But once we agreed on something, they never failed us. Lavrov contends the Biden administration is determined to universalize its image of Western liberal democracy as defined by American political scientist Francis Fukuyama in his 1992 book, The End of History and the Last Man. American envoys demand that every country take a tough stance on Russia, join the sanctions, and stop dealing with Russian representatives. It is all part of this plan to bring about the end of history by ensuring the final and irreversible dominance of the so-called golden billion. Well, listen, all the sanctions are backfiring, and we now have a new round, a ninth package of EU sanctions prohibiting its citizens from becoming high-ranking employees in Russian companies. The European Union has imposed its ninth sanctioned package on Russia. This happened Friday, prohibiting citizens to hold governing posts in companies owned by the Russian state, the European Council reported. As of today, EU nationals will be forbidden from holding any posts on the governing bodies of all Russian state-owned or controlled legal persons, entity, or bodies located in Russia. The European Union has a ban in place on certain consulting services to Russia as well. The 27-nation bloc, that's the European Union, explained that its new decision bans the provision of EU advertising, market research, and public opinion polling services, product testing, and technical inspection services for Russia and Russian state-controlled companies. This comes a little more than a week after the EU imposed a new package of sanctions involving banning the broadcast of four channels and control of the export of dual-usage goods worth more than 2.3 billion euros, $2.4 billion. In order to address the Russian Federation's systematic international campaign of disinformation, that means broadcasting the truth, and information manipulation intended to destabilize its neighboring countries. No, no, no. That's a U.S. and the West practice. That is not Russian. The EU and its member states, the Council initiated the process for suspending the broadcasting license of four additional media outlets. So Brussels explained the measure would not prevent the media nor their staff from performing their duties in the EU other than broadcasting. They'd be allowed to conduct research and interviews. The sanction will also involve a ban on transaction with marketing firms. Now, bear in mind, what's indispensable to maintaining peace in the world is communication between nations. They're, of course, deliberately attempting to keep the population of the Western nations in ignorance, in a lack of knowledge about the developments, the very ones I'm reporting here and now. You would have thought the EU would have learned that all the sanctions is imposed on Russia and the importation of Russian gas have been so devastating to the economies of their own nations that they're working to the benefit of Russia, not that of the European Union. Right back with Stephen Francis after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
As I observed at the start of the show, we're engaged in warfare on two fronts, internationally in Ukraine, but also domestically right here in the United States, where there's a concerted effort to alter the character of the United States. It's a multi-pronged attack. It involves removing statues. It involves affecting education. It involves deconstructing our law enforcement, our judicial system, putting criminals on the street. No one anticipated all of this, to my knowledge, more clearly than my guest today, with whom I've had a long relationship. He proposed that we coordinated a conference on academic freedom and whether there are limits to inquiry. More than one conference held on the campus of the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, one of which we focused on JFK, 9/11, and the Holocaust of examples where academicians are unwilling to tread. Sad to say, that remains largely the case up until now. As retaliation for my having orchestrated that campaign and addressed issues about the Holocaust, where you can find a summary overview of the results of my research online at The Holocaust Narrative, Politics, Trump's Science, and also on my 65 shows on my blog, where you can find that at James H. Fetzer, jimconspiracy.org, Jim the Conspiracy Guy, the 65 shows, you'll see how rather effortlessly the whole scenario of the Holocaust falls apart. Indeed, on my Twitter account at Jim Fetzer, I recently published a couple of photographs from Nick Kohlerstrom's brilliant new book, Breaking the Spell, for which he invited me to write the introduction, which is a piece that I have published independently, including a photograph of the British soccer team at Auschwitz, all looking very fit and healthy, and now more recently of hundreds of children who were born in the camps when they were liberated, all looking very healthy, well-fed. I mean, the whole idea of having these death camps, you know, when babies are born is incredible. So I'm very pleased to have here as my special guest, Stephen Francis, who is farsighted enough to anticipate what was taking place. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me on.
I want you to go ahead and lay out how you anticipated, how clearly you saw the outlines of cultural Marxism emerging in the United States far before anyone of my knowledge or acquaintance. Go ahead. Give us a sketch.
Okay. Before I get into the meat of the talk, I'll kind of give you a brief outline of what I'm going to talk about. The first thing is, it's the actual Wikipedia entrance for cultural Marxism, and I of course I have to preface that with that I only use Wikipedia to find out what our adversaries are doing. I'm sure you understand that, but it's really interesting how they treat cultural Marxism, and it shows what they say and don't say. And anyway, that's kind of the first section. Then I want to get into Weimar, history of Weimar Germany, which I think has incredible comparisons to modern America and cultural Marxism, the struggle of Americans with a communist revolution. There's just tons of parallels in that. The cultural Marxism itself, I'd like to talk about Fabianism. Very few people that I talk to just on the street know what Fabianism is, and it's a incredibly important aspect of cultural Marxism. And then I would like to get into the relationship between the Institute of Social Research, which is the Frankfurt School, which is the beginnings in the early 20th century, the beginnings of cultural Marxism. And their relationship with Freud, their relationship with Weimar Germany, lots of really important things in there that I don't think the average person that reads about cultural Marxism in even the alt media in America is aware of. Okay, especially the Freud stuff. Okay.
Go for it, Stephen. Go for it.
Okay. Okay, getting back to Wikipedia, one of the first things that they do is name off just all sorts of different terms for what. Well, first, first of all, they still say and have been saying for at least a decade now that or more, that cultural Marxism is a conspiracy theory, and they're still saying that. I was curious about that because I hadn't looked it up in a long time. But then they proceed to name off all the different terms for this, for cultural Marxism. So I've written them down because there's so many. And some of them are, modern interpretations. But anyway, wokeism is actually a form of cultural Marxism. And obviously that's a modern, you know, a modern interpretation. But, and, you know, everybody kind of knows that political correctness is considered cultural Marxism. Western Marxism, the New Left, Neo-Marxism, Jewish Bolshevism, Neo-Freudism, and the New School. The New School was a institution developed upon the emigration of the cultural Marxists to Columbia University in the New York area. Anyway, so that list, if you focus on those words, it is a great segue, I think, into what cultural Marxism is. Okay. Now, the next thing is Fabianism. Okay. Fabianism, was created in the early 20th century, maybe even back into the late 19th century. It can be thought of as the precursor to communism. But in describing it, there are two main terms to describe it. One is gradualism and the other is incremental change. Okay. And if you take Fabianism all the way back to its actual, the name, the root of its name, it's Fabius in Roman, during Roman era, Roman, you know, the Roman times. And it was the first mention of the term of a non-physical war, where you starved. The Fabius was the originator of a war tactic of starving the fortress and guerrilla tactics and all that. That's where Fabianism came from, and the intellectuals of the 20th century took those ideas and created the term Fabianism. Wolf, and the other logo for the term or for Fabianism is a wolf in sheep's clothing, which means that they can basically use any sort of trickery or deception they want to get to fulfill their aims. And Fabianism is still around. It's a British Zionist creation. Tony Blair was a Fabianist. Barack Obama, there's an article in the, you know, on the internet, was Barack Obama a Fabianist? Yes, he was. He and all its followers are completely aware of the idea that Fabianism is the ultimate term for gradual, peaceful intellectual change or revolution. Okay. On to the next section. As you can tell, I'm not an experienced speaker. Whatever. Okay. Weimar Germany. Okay. 1920s. Tie this into cultural Marxism and the Institute for Social Research in Frankfurt, Germany. And to set a little bit of background about Weimar Germany, there were a couple of failed communist revolutions in Eastern Europe. One was a 1905 failed communist revolution in Russia. Very few people have heard about it, but one of the consequences of that failed revolution was that there was a huge migration of Jews into Germany. Okay. And that will obviously become important in World War One and World War Two, as far as stab in the back incident or stab in the back phenomena, where the Germans lost World War One because the Jews. Were able to negotiate American presence into World War One and completely turning it around and defeating Germany.
Steve, let me intervene and ask you. This is a nice scholarly review. Let me just go right to the heart of the matter. What do you see as a major manifestation of cultural Marxism in the United States today? Am I correct? Destroying a nation's historical identity is part and parcel, that taking down the statues, which began even most prominently in New Orleans of all places, which has been a tourist attraction for generations because it has so many magnificent statues and other historical artifacts. And now it's gone so far as in Richmond, Virginia. They have destroyed basically a whole avenue that was loaded with magnificent statues of Confederate generals, which was part and parcel of reconciliation between the North and the South in the wake of the Civil War, to show both sides had respect for the leaders of the opposition and to attempt to overcome any hard feelings. Am I right or wrong to believe that was a tip of the spear for cultural Marxism to upend the values and traditions of the United States?
Absolutely correct. And that's why I talked about Weimar Germany. The exact same thing happened in Weimar Germany in the beginning of the 20th century. But to take it forward into America, the cultural Marxist created what they call critical theory. Okay. And just
including critical race theory, especially, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I just did that today. You can't really trust Google anymore on, you know, searching for anything. But occasionally, if you want to know what the left is doing, you search it. And I put in a search, a search terms, critical theory in quotes and critical race theory in quotes, and I got just tons of articles that had both terms in it. I didn't read, you know, too many, but that was what I was looking for. Critical race theory is just an iteration of critical theory, which is created by cultural Marxists, as like you say, to, you know, is the destruction of a culture in order to bring it back up into the New World Order, basically. Okay. And the destruction of statues is consistent with destroying the symbols of a culture, like the Constitution, like the family, like anything that is traditional. They have to destroy all those that's the premise of cultural Marxism, is that you have to destroy those institutions before you can rebuild it under, you know, a new order. Okay.
So, Stephen, you're suggesting too that the destruction of the family, which would be entailed by the promotion of certain forms of feminism, the destruction of the black family by creating a welfare system where a black mother gets more income if there's no father at home. All of these are ways of undermining and unraveling the fabric of civil society in such a manner as to generate a sense of helplessness, hopelessness, despair. Would I be right?
Right. Absolutely. And just what a couple of things come to mind is the 60s hippie movement, of which I was, which I was absolutely a part of, I always thought that it was just this innocent, you know, innocent movement that helped stop the Vietnam War. And I didn't really take it, you know, further than that. But it turns out that Herbert Marcuse, who was a cultural Marxist, you know, from ISR, the Institute, basically created the 60s hippie anti-war movement in order to break down the authority, the classic traditional Christian authority of the family and the government. Who would have known that there's absolutely no treatment of that in any sort of mainstream media site. There are lots of other examples of that, but maybe I'll twist this a little bit around and talk about the authoritarian personality, which is a book written by Theodore Adorno, also a cultural Marxist, that has a lot of connections to Trump in modern America. Okay, and also has to do with the destruction of traditional values. Okay, and it's a little bit complex to explain it, and it's also. And I'll get into this later. I've made this long list of what I think are ruses by the cultural Marxists, where they create confusing scenarios that are designed to distract and change the subject for their own purposes. But anyway, getting back to the authoritarian personality and Adorno. What the main premise of that line of thinking was that there is a stripe of persons on the earth that are given to following cult, what they would call fascistic or authoritarian figures, and they write volumes and volumes of a text on describing that authoritarian figure, and that they present themselves as protecting civilization from that person that is too easily going into the fold of authoritarianism. And then in the next sentence, what they do is connect Trump to that, okay, and that try to connect Trump to Nazism, to white supremacy, to nationalistic tendencies, as were in Nazi Germany, and you know it's become there should be a word for it is when you accuse your enemy of the very thing that you do yourself. And that's where I get into the idea of a ruse, is that the cultural Marxists are incredibly talented intellectual tricksters, where they create scenarios that look incredibly credible, but what they're actually doing in the bottom line is accusing their enemies, which are not white nationalist patriots, of the very thing that they're trying to do. Cultural Marxism is in itself a dictatorial totalitarianism system. Okay. And what they have to do is deflect that inner core of their organization. The way they deflect that is to accuse their enemies of the same thing. And that's where the authoritarian personality comes in, and that's what the accusation of, you know, of Trump as being a leader of authoritarian persons who or authoritarian personalities who too easily attach themselves to people like Trump. Do you have an interpretation of what I just said?
Stephen, I'm very curious about what you're saying here. Trump has seemed to me to be an heroic figure in having basically executed a hostile takeover of the Republican Party and turning it into a populist party that actually represents the interests of real Americans rather than an elite within the United States. You're suggesting there's something about it is strong, and he's definitely an alpha male. There's no question about that. He has marvelous leadership skills. Are you suggesting somehow he's a promoter of cultural Marxism? Because it seemed to me it's precisely the opposite. Your thoughts?
No. Either I misspoke or I didn't describe. I'm saying that the cultural Marxists are disingenuously accusing him of being a personality that authoritarian
Trump. They're trying to turn a virtue into a vice, right? He's a strong leader, so they're trying to make out that he's an authoritarian and a kind of a petty tyrant, when in fact it's the feeble Joe Biden and the Democrat administration in Washington that are actually the tyrants who are implicated in destroying America by opening the borders and other measures that are actually implementation of cultural Marxism under another name or guise.
Right. See, the point I'm trying to make here is about the trickery and the ruse that cultural Marxists use. The book, Authoritarian Personality, has mostly to do with describing the person that attaches themselves to Trump, not Trump, but that person that seems to involuntarily.
Hold that thought. We'll pick it up with Stephen Francis after this break. We'll be right back.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, Stephen, just so that we don't misunderstand this point you're making about Trump, you're talking about individuals who are Trump supporters who you're suggesting are drawn to strong personalities or leadership. But I would think that's natural among most people, especially if they have a leader who's dealing with massive forces allied against him and where there's very unlikely to be any progress made in challenging them.
Yes.
Unless you have strong leadership.
That's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that the cultural Marxists are putting themselves in a position of protecting the world from Trump's overzealous Trump supporters. It's not about what I'm talking about. It's not about the Trump supporters. It's about the trickery of the cultural Marxists.
You're saying the cultural Marxists are feigning protecting a public they're treating as though they were gullible saps from leadership that they are attempting to discredit falsely in order to promote their own agenda.
Absolutely. And there's other examples. While we get that, while that's clear, it's like the whole issue of anti-Semitism and racism. It's the trickery that that anybody that exhibits what is considered anti-Semitic words or behaviors is considered a racist. Racism has, you know, and absolutely nothing to do with the hatred or hatred of Jews. Okay. And again, this has to do with trickery, not the actual topic of racism and anti-Semitism. It's the trickery that they use to confuse the public about what anti-Semitism is and what racism. It's all, you know, it's just another example of trickery.
Let me say, for example, like the Tree of Life attack in Pittsburgh, completely fabricated to simulate an anti-Semitic act. In other words, They're fabricating these events all the time to play the Jewish victim card. And it's right. Why they protect so ferociously the mythology of the Holocaust. They know that Jewish political power is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust, so that if it were to be exposed, they fear they're going to lose their ability to manipulate the European and the American communities.
Right, right. And wokeism is the same thing. They put themselves out there like they are protecting transgenders and LGBT. They don't care. The leadership doesn't, you know, the left leadership doesn't care anything about transgender, LGBT, anything. What they use it for in through identity politics is just to gain power. And again, it's an example of the sophistication of the trickery of cultural Marxists. I made a list. I mean, Antifa is another example of that. No mainstream publication ever talks about the real beginnings of Antifa. It was all Jewish communists, anti-fascist communists in Weimar Germany that was the beginning of Antifa. You absolutely never hear that. And even getting into Hitler, you never, you know, the demonization of Hitler is all about, you know, eugenics and whatever, you know, all their, you know, all the classic terms, but they never talk about the anti-communism that Hitler embraced. Okay. And actually, Freud, well, I mean, I could go down the list even more. The Civil War. Everybody thinks it's about slavery. It's not about slavery. And I actually haven't studied that much, but I think I'll take a stab that the Civil War was really about the British trying to reverse the effects of the American Revolution. Or you could, yeah, I don't know. I'm getting off the subject here, but do you see the point that the point I'm trying to make is that cultural Marxists are incredibly sophisticated tricksters, and you have to look around every corner what they're up to.
Well, I just want you to talk about some of the manifestation when you get into wokeism. That's really important. I'd like you to elaborate on that, how wokeism is a manifestation of cultural Marxism and the attempt to sabotage, really to deconstruct the culture and values of the United States.
Right, right. I think the word political correctness got worn out, and they had to come up with something new to keep their narrative alive. I haven't actually studied where the word wokeism started. Maybe you have some thoughts on that. But whatever, it's here, and it's basically just it's the collective university leftist created political correctness, just with a new name, where transgender, LGBT, queer theory, race theory, all that stuff is just repackaged. Diversity. It's all just cultural Marxism repackaged.
And am I right that the objective is to destroy a culture and to replace it by a Marxist form of
absolutely.
Government?
Yeah, that's the other, you know, I mean, that's the assumption. That's the basis of the whole cultural Marxist thing, is that it's a incremental, gradual communist revolution. But it's an American version of a communist revolution, just like China had its own version of a communist revolution.
And you're talking about it's a gradual, non-violent takeover
right.
of a nation or conversion of its values into something that, if the public were conscious it was taking place, they would never allow it to happen. But because it's done incrementally in a politically ingenious, clever fashion, it's far more difficult to ferret out. And the public, for the most part, is being played.
Except that they kind of got off their play plan with the Antifa and doing $2 billion worth of damage. I mean, they acted like it never happened, but it did happen. It was violence, and it was, a revolutionary effort. And to me, I haven't, studied it too much beyond that. But getting back to, yes, cultural Marxism is nonviolent, incremental, revolutionary change. And that's where critical theory comes in. If you search Wikipedia on critical theory, one of the first things that they just say, they don't say revolution, they just said change. It is not the description of the problems of a society. It's the description and change of a society. And all you have to do is, substitute the word revolution for change, and you have cultural Marxism,
Well, I want you to go on. I mean, tell me about the complicity of the Biden administration in promoting all this rubbish. I mean, to me, it's just shocking how much they're getting away with. Tell me. How can they get away with it? How can they continue to deceive the public? I mean, it's got to do with control of the media, which I think is almost, apart from the alternative media, almost 100% Jewish or Israeli dominated.
Right. And there's another factor in here is George Soros. I haven't read that much on it, but he basically gave away his fortune to the left, billions and billions of dollars. Okay. And there was the complicity of the Biden administration with Soros funded organizations, it probably runs deep. As far as the Biden administration, one of the main, although seemingly indirect, it is actually a direct connection to cultural Marxism, is COVID-19 in itself. Because the COVID-19 plandemic needed stolen elections. It needed early voting. It needed stolen elections. It needed a progression of events in order for the Biden regime to get into power, okay? Nobody was aware at the beginning of COVID that it was all about getting the vaccine into people. It was, I'm kind of getting off the subject here.
No, keep going, this is good, keep going.
Okay.
Nobody was aware initially with the COVID that it was about getting the vax into the public. Go ahead.
Right. It was all pre-planned. I mean, there are reports of the Department of Defense, University of North or South Carolina. There were reports of the COVID pandemic back in 2013, 2009. Way back,
mRNA.
Yeah.
mRNA.
Yeah. Technology has been developed for a long time. It is not a surprise at all. Sophisticated iterations of cultural Marxism.
Yeah, keep going.
What are
some of the key manifestations as you see it in the Biden administration? I take it critical race theory, obviously interfering with not allowing parents to have a role in their children's education. What do you think about all this transgender children's, gender dysphoria and all this happy horseshit? Tell us about that.
Right. Before I get into the transgender, though, there's the whole thing about parental control, trying to wrest, the upbringing of kids away from parents and to the state. I mean, that's just pure communism. Okay, but getting back to transgender, LGBT, and Biden, I can't think of the actual agencies that are involved in that.
Well, Health and Human Services.
I suppose.
HHS primarily.
Yeah, HHS, but it's getting back to COVID, but Fauci and his promotion of the vaccines can also be considered. It started with Trump, and I don't think Trump, although I have some reservations about it, why he hasn't, why he hasn't embraced what DeSantis has about COVID.
Yes. A lot of us worry about that. We would like him to come clean and denounce it and explain he was played. He actually made some moves that preempted more serious mandates nationwide, but I think the public is not aware of that, really, has no full or comprehensive appreciation.
Just looking at my notes here, there's another incredibly important concept that applies, and it's the cooperation between corporations and capitalists and socialists. Okay, I just touched on the article, but I just spiked that it's an incredibly important issue, in that corporations are leading, like Disney, Netflix, they are leading the transgender movement, and that absolutely has everything to do with fascism, which is, its basic, definition of fascism is a corporate, a cooperation with government. Okay. So you could totally say that the Biden and even Trump, to some extent, cooperation between, as far as warp speed and all that, cooperation on getting the vaccines out there. And now Elon Musk is exposing all that through his ability to get through the, get to the files of, the inner files of Twitter. But all this exposes.
Steve, do you then agree with me? I believe very strongly Musk is doing the nation a great service here by really having spent a vast amount of money to take control of Twitter, now exposing all the Twitter files, all the corruption, the censorship, and really creating a platform for free speech. I give him high marks across the board. Your thoughts?
Yes, I do. I'm a little bit, he's got other projects that are just horrific, like brain implants and he's flying, satellites over Ukraine. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff, but his efforts with Twitter files, I think basically, override all that stuff to a certain extent. You really have to. The problem is that the what I call the Dem Rhino Congress is going to get a hold of all the Twitter files, and it's just going to fade out like everything else that Congress does. It won't really. It's like the FTX scandal. All the indictments in the FTX scandal didn't in any way mention that the Democratic Party reaped tens of, if not hundreds of millions of dollars from the FTX money laundering scandal. And, you know, Congress will get a hold of that and it'll just get washed away. And it'll make a few headlines and it'll just get washed away. You know what I mean?
What will get washed away, Steve, again?
Okay. There's the Twitter files and FTX scandals.
Yeah.
There's news articles about Congress and, you know, having hearings on those as soon as the Republicans get back in, you know, into control of the committees in the House. And I'm afraid that all the good that Musk has done, will get just wasted on a compromised Congress, you know?
Well, we have yet to see. I mean, the Republicans are taking control of the House. I mean, there was massive theft. Even James Carville implicitly acknowledged that they had stolen 57 House seats that the Republicans had legitimately won, blaming it on Trump, but it was because of their vote manipulation that it took place. So,
Right. So,
it's going to be a hard battle. Listen, it's going to be a hard battle. There's no doubt about it. But the point is, I want you to, you know, help us to delineate the key indicators, the key issues, the key moves, the key developments that make a difference here in what is attempting to be done to the nation and how it can be undone.
Yes. I think just the dynamics, and I think you mentioned them in your, you know, opening remarks, that, you know, World War III really looks like it totally could be a possibility, but there are so many other mitigating circumstances that tend to be tearing down the Biden administration and wokeism and, you know, financial, you know, the, what, you know, everybody's predicting another recession that will make the 2008 recession look like a cakewalk, you know.
I think there's no doubt we're already in a recession, and it just came out that Biden just massively lied about the number of new jobs offset, claiming there'd been 1.1 million new jobs when the actual number was a paltry 10,000. You know, they're just using propaganda, disinformation again and again and again to artificially prop themselves up. And it's just so very hard to break through when they control all the mainstream media.
That is actually an important element of cultural Marxism, is to actually lie your face off to the population. Keep lying. 2 + 2 = 5. Keep it up and up and up until you've completely destroyed the intellectual capabilities of a population. And, you know, he's not lying to, you know, to help a sort of an immediate situation. It's part of cultural Marxism to lie, you know.
Yeah, continue. By the way, I'm killing the break, and I'm going to, you know, invite calls even early, 540-352-4452. But I want to begin by bringing in Mitchell, who's already got some astute observation to contribute. Mitchell, join the conversation with Stephen.
Hey, Stephen, how are you doing today?
Hey, Mitchell.
You know, I have to say, you know, he is right, because what we will hear is this steady drumbeat of stuff, and it will be like your Twitter feed that you say something, and next thing you know, it's 1,000 posts down, and nobody ever sees it. And it's just this humdrum of stuff. And, you know, one thing that I had a thought earlier, that, you know, they are, you know, creating a image of Trump/MAGA as if they were the Poles that burned down the Reichstag on January the 6th. You know, that's, you know, the kind of hardcore propaganda that we're facing.
Well, Twitter and Facebook, all those, the technical design of those websites is to bury anything that anybody says. It's in this sequential line that disappears. You know, that's by design. All that Twitter and Facebook were created for was to collect information, is to categorize the users. They had absolutely no intention of promoting any ideas that people would have.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. And that's why, you know, this exposure of the censorship on Twitter from all levels of government, you know, people must understand that that extends to every social media platform. And that, as our government points out, TikTok is so dangerous. Well, the truth is, TikTok is just Chinese propaganda and psychological push versus what the Americans are pushing.
Well, Truth Social, Trump's Truth Social, isn't too bad. I've got on it, but it suffers from the same thing. It just, anything you put on it is gone in about 3 seconds, and you know.
You mean there's censorship on Truth Social too?
I don't know. I actually tried it. And I think they,
you know, I've been putting up a fair amount of stuff that's pretty strong on Twitter, and it's all stayed in place. I mean, I've been very happy with what's happened, even though some Alex Jones supporters wanted to use his having readmitted me as a justification for readmitting Alex, even though I am myself wrote to him and said, Alex didn't get it wrong and attached a photograph of Noah Posner celebrating his 8th birthday, count the candles on the cake, pretty good for a boy who died at the age of 6. He has, you know, not flinched. She's kept Alex off, notwithstanding, where I think Alex does a good job of bringing attention to controversial issues and entertaining a variety of speculation and opinions. He's not good at following through it and sorting it out and bringing it to a resolution, which is where my efforts in collaborative research make such a difference, because I bring together enough experts to sort out what really happened and to resolve the cases in an objective and scientific fashion, which is nevertheless tentative and fallible. We know that new evidence or alternative hypotheses may require a revision, rejecting hypotheses we previously accepted, accepting hypotheses we previously rejected, and leaving others in suspense. And that, like all scientific theories, even though it's the best supported now, it might ultimately turn out to be false. But nevertheless, it's been very successful with JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even the moon landing. And that's my books, 6 of my books now, Stephen, have been banned by Amazon. I hold the indoor record. It's just astonishing.
Yeah, it's amazing. No, I mean, they're obvious. What I was trying to distinguish between the technical design of social media and the censorship.
This isn't the censorship. Even a book such as mine, indispensable to the cultural Marxist movement.
Right. And with the social media, if a person like you or you know, some of the not anti-vaxxers, but the prominent doctors who are anti-mRNA, they can get back their millions and millions of followers and, you know, make one statement and millions of people see it. So, I mean, there's some value there, obviously. But anyway, Mitchell,
absolutely. You know, it's, you know, I spoke about this earlier, this week and last week and the weeks before. The problem today is, you know, we have facts and we know the truth. Today, people have been subjected.
I'm sending stuff to forward to Margaret. I want her best thoughts about these issues.
Okay. we have to get past the psychology and the psychological operations that have been used to pass on and solidify this false and disinformation into the brains of people. And that is hard to do when you still have the yapping media out there that is still parroting the disinformation as if it's true. So while the truth is out here, getting past the psychology that people have been subjected to is yet another problem.
Yeah, Steve, carry on with how, it seems to me Trump is the enemy of cultural Marxism and that the moves he's making are the right moves to be making to defeat it, but he's boxed in the courts. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but the corruption of the courts, look at the Carrie Lake case. There was no justification for dismissing her case in Arizona, and that this judge did it in spite of the evidence. So it seems to me Trump is being boxed in not only by enemies in his own rank, which go all the way up to his attorney general, but by the courts, which are not acting in a constitutional, lawful fashion.
Yeah, I totally agree with all that. But I read something, yesterday about Trump that just really surprised me about the speakership of the House and McCarthy. And I think it was Scalise was the runner up in that. And that that Trump, endorsed McCarthy. And it seemed like the question sure could be asked, why didn't he endorse Scalise, who has a better conservative record? And that was just one article. I mean, there could have been things that I'm just sort of in the back of my mind creating this list of stuff that Trump's doing that, he's too close to Israel. I'm almost to the point where I like DeSantis more, but Trump is the only one that can gather enough people together to really win an election. I mean, it's getting complex,
Yeah, well, here I'll ring in. I believe one of the problems, I think, is that DeSantis is more this professional statesman like Pence that is willing to negotiate and willing to partnership, literally compromise until there's nothing left to compromise, and then say, I did my job. Trump will stand against this craziness, and will he have enough support within the Congress, not necessarily the parties?
Trump and DeSantis should be trying to outdo each other as far as the, Christian patriotic nationalistic movement. They should be trying to outdo each other if it was a perfect world, and they're not. Trump should have considered to become, the Speaker of the House. He should have done that, and he didn't. Of course, I'm not a fly in the wall in his office, but another huge area.
Hang on a second, Stephen, because we have Paul here, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say. Paul, join the conversation.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how much I'll have to say, but I have to do what has been called so many times black pill. And I guess, black pill meaning, I'm sure, Jim, you've heard the term before. It's just to, the cold, hard truth of the matter. Is all these names that you're mentioning, Trump, DeSantis, anybody else, all of these politicians are completely meaningless and useless. It's all a total shit show. I'm going to go on record, and I think I already said this to you, Jim, but this is just, it's just becoming too obvious. Trump is finished. He's never going to be president again. Whether he runs or not, or whether his campaign is the normal sort of thing that we saw in 2020 or 2016, I can't really tell you. But Jim, you did get it right. The fact of the matter is, I think it's becoming increasingly clear that Trump won in an overwhelming landslide, the likes of which we probably have never seen before. And yet he's not president. So how anybody could believe that in 2024 it's going to be different, I think, is naive. We're just going to have to face the facts that this so-called cultural Marxism you're talking about, which we just should replace with the word Jewish agenda, because that's all this is. It's a Jewish agenda of destruction. And it cannot be stopped except by force. That's the only thing historically that's ever worked. There has to be and real world physical consequences for these people. I'm going to send to you, Jim. I'll send it to you, Mitch, also this link to Renegade Tribune. They've been running a series of articles about the history, and it's a lengthy and very terrible history of Jewish ritual murder in Europe that goes back many, many centuries to the 1500s and before. And what's interesting, and it's quite a lengthy series, it's on it based on a book, and of course there's more than one book on this topic, but what is of note is there was a turning point when the Jews got financial power in Europe. And once they got financial power, then they could buy the courts and the governments and the princes and the kings, and they were no longer subject to the sorts of punishments that they endured before. In fact, what was amazing to me is reading about all these cases where the evidence was clear-cut, obtained by confession. In many cases, the confessions were obtained by torture. I don't have a problem with that, because when they tortured them, they were able to find the bodies. So, it's like, okay, the torture worked, because let's face it, if they tell you where the body is and you go there and you find it, well, then they're telling you the truth. And, case after case of that, and as an example, and again, right after the show, Jim, I'll send you the link. You can read for yourself. I don't know how much you've read on this topic, but these people, and again, we don't need to get into a debate about not all, the not all argument is useless in my opinion. Or the difference between the Torah Jews and the Talmudic Jews, that's all meaningless. We have an alien enemy that holds the reins of power. Every single gear and lever of power, they're in control. And it's going to be our doom if we don't stop it. It's basically us or them. And elections, unfortunately, are meaningless. That's my take.
There's an absolutely great example of when you're talking about physical, a physical event around, modern day events, and that's Bolsonaro in Brazil. The latest that I saw on that situation today is he basically said that he didn't have the support of any government institution as far as exacting the revolution, and that it would probably, take a civil war for it to actually happen. For the conditions in the United States to get to where they are in Brazil, it's unlikely that it could even happen. And, there's no guarantee what's going to happen with Brazil, but I agree with you that it takes, and another way to in agreement with you is that Lula in Brazil is in the pocket of the globalists. The globalists are I used to use the term Jews all the time, but I've kind of gotten away from it. In fact, I'm focusing on a new term that's gotten a little traction on the internet, and it's called Zio-Anglo-American Axis.
The only problem that I or anybody like myself would have with that is let's get a group of people together and point point out to me the Zio Anglo-American activists. Okay, you know, it's kind of like, it's like getting a group of people together and tell me which ones are communists. You know, tell me which ones are. You know,
well, yeah, okay, saying, there's a, I got it.
Here's the one thing. Let me just finish this point. I've made this point so many times. I don't know how many times you've heard it, but I know Jim's heard it. But there's just nowhere else to go, okay? I've been told by somebody, and I thought it was a great compliment recently, that they respected the way I thought because I was a very linear thinker. And, you know, I don't know exactly what they meant by that, but I kind of have an idea that, you know, I just don't allow myself to be distracted by what I consider nonsense, okay? I think the Germans and the National Socialists had it correct, right? It takes an authoritarian regime and an authoritarian figure, a leader, to get us out of this, and that they were correct about race as well, that it's all racial. All this talk about immigration is just, it's just a ridiculous bunch of nonsense, because what it really is, it is so-called racism. It is exactly what they say, but they're trying to make it like it's all bad because they want to shove it down our throats, right? They want to completely destroy this country. They want to turn us into a Brazil. And the reason that a multi-ethnic, a multiracial society like Brazil doesn't really work, so-called, like so many others, is the same reason it's always not worked. Okay, you have competing interests because people do have a racial affinity, right? And so we're not going to be able to have the sort of society that we would want if they go forward with their agenda. And their agenda is completely racial at this point. Economics are out the window because they can control all the money and they can make it up as they want. They can buy anything they want, and they're doing it. They're buying the world.
Well, there's actually a good example of Zio Anglo-Americanism, and it's Rudy Giuliani. I studied 9/11 truth for years. I mean, if you want some information on Jews, go to newsfollowup.com. I have 40,000 pages on that website. It's newsfollowup.com. And Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York on 9/11, and he's the one that ordered all the trucks that to dump sand into the basement of the World Trade Center to keep the nuclear fires, to try to put out the nuclear fires. I'm not saying, you know, that Giuliani was actually in on the planning. He may have been, you know, duped, found out about it at the very, but he was also knighted by the British Empire for his efforts in 9/11. He's to me, in my research, he's a poster child for the Zio Anglo.
Yeah, but see, these are just words again that are just absurd. You know, it's like I said, put a crowd of 1,000 people together and tell me which one is the Protestant and which one is the Catholic. But you know what? You can recognize a lot of Jews by their faces and by their nose. This is something that has been known for a long time. So again, I come back. I mean, look at his name, by the way, Giuliani. I mean, come on. That guy is not, he's not an Aryan. All right. This is the thing that it just doesn't matter, you know, what non-Jew is participating in their schemes, whether they're a mayor or a governor or anything else. The fact of the matter is when you look around, they control every single department, bureaucracy, you know, they control all as Jim Setzer has pointed out, they control all the mainstream media. So you can put any fancy new term you want on it, but in the end, it's an us versus them situation. They're aliens. They've always been regarded.
Look at all the complicity in the Russia thing of the British intelligence agency and trying
Britain has been ruled by Jews for centuries. It's when you know the history of it. I mean, again, there's another great article I got from Renegade Tribune. I forwarded it along, and it's based upon a lot of other research about the true history of the Magna Carta. And the Magna Carta wasn't just about, as they tell us, the tyranny of King John. It was about the Jews. And the Jews were expelled shortly after that. Again.
Yeah. I have no argument there. Yeah. Look at the cooperation between the Zionists and the British government in the creation of Palestine. That's Zio-Angloism. And, you know, the American banks were probably somehow involved in it. I mean, I'm actually going to be doing a lot more research on it You sound like me about 5 years ago. Everything is the Jews. Everything is Jews. Well, everything, ultimately, it's money, okay? It's shit. It's flies. Flies are attracted to shit. That's what, you know, just because somebody isn't Jewish doesn't mean that they won't do Jewish stuff. And, that's kind of flipped around, but I totally agree with you and everything. You probably know more about Jews than I do, but I have 40,000 pages of research on it. So I just, you know, beg you to look at what I'm, you know, the Zio-Anglo-American thing.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's nothing I wouldn't look at. I mean, I've taken in a lot of material just like you have, but in many ways, the complexity is not our friend. Okay. I mean, we need clarity. Okay. It's sort of like, you know, it's like if you're a rancher, you don't need to worry about the opossums. Okay. It's the coyote. All right. So, you know, again, every now and then you might have an owl snatch a chicken or two, but, you know, who's the main party to blame in ruining your chances for having, you know, a viable operation, a farm or a ranch. And so in the past, many societies have decided that coexistence is not possible. And the ones that did decide that coexistence was something that they, you know, could deal with, they had certain parameters, including keeping them in ghettos. Or, for example, in Russia, they had the Pale Settlements. I never knew this. It was sort of interesting to find out beyond the Pale and what that meant, you know. But the Pale Settlements were just areas where it was outside of the normal settlements of the Russians, and that's where they could be, and they couldn't be anywhere else.
And, there's a modern example of what you're talking about is BlackRock, which is, you know, Larry Fink is talking
yes,
to
no, Zelensky. This is what I was going to say when I was going to complete my thought. They cannot be allowed in any way, shape, or form to do business in our money. I mean, if we want to coexist with them, and I don't really care, to be honest with you, they could all go in the volcano tomorrow, and I would be happy. It's like I said on this show, and I just don't give a damn what people think anymore. If the Holocaust was real, I'd have no problem with it. Okay.
How are you going to accomplish getting rid of all the, you know, Jewish influence and the Jews? You know, how are you going to actually?
One day at a time. But it's been done in the past. It's like so many people have pointed out online. There's a lot of people that are talking about the gargantuan task or the impossibility or they're defeatist. There's no chance. We're, you know, it's already over. Well, you know, apparently 109 times or whatever the total is in the past, it's been done, right? Whatever the total is, well, 70 times, 80 times, 100 times in the past, it's been done. The problem is it's just not, you know, permanent enough. And
you can't stop not trying, that's for sure.
And it has to be codified. In other words, it has to be part of your law. The problem with the coexistence or having them in society at all, unfortunately, is that they're going to advocate for their rights, you know? And so, I mean, if you start out with the fact that, well, you can't be in government, you can't be in finance, you can't be a teacher, you can't be in education, you can't write textbooks for schools and so on. Well, so it's going to be very limited. And then pretty soon, you know, they're going to be a vocal minority, and then you give them a little bit, like give them an inch, and then pretty soon they're running everything. It's just, it's a corrosive negative influence. It's been written about for centuries. I'm not doing it justice by this phone call. But I think that more and more people's eyes are becoming open because of the internet. That's for sure. And
you know,
sooner or later, it's going to come.
I don't believe in God, but I think God, if there was one, is the only force that could actually accomplish the mission. And in fact, I don't believe in God, but I believe in the power of evolutionary psychology. And what you're saying is that, you know, one person at a time, if we can just in a sense of evolutionary psychology, put together a group that is powerful enough to,
Societies have done this. And the most recent example was National Socialist Germany. Now, of course, the problem that they had the mistake that, you know, they made, if they made a mistake, and I'm not sure they made strategic or military mistakes, but that's not what I'm speaking of here, is they were in a position where they were opposed by the Jews in control of more powerful economies and more powerful governments. In other words, England, the United States, was more powerful than National Socialist Germany alone. And so they essentially were opposed by the entire world at that point. It was unfortunate. But they showed quite clearly how you could have a society that was successful. And all they wanted to do, when you really get down to the core of what Hitler wanted, is to promote high culture in Germany. You know, with a lie and conquering other lands and so forth. That was the lie that was told about them to make us think that we have to fight them. But I mean, I had a friend of mine that I've known for the better part of 40 years yesterday, and I was shocked that he never knew about the British Expeditionary Force and didn't know that England started landing an army in France after France, and England declared war on Germany for their incursion into Poland. Right. And he's an educated guy. He reads books. I mean, I've known this man, and yet he didn't know that. So we're up against it because they control the narrative. They control education. And people don't know the basic, simple facts. I mean, you know how many people in the last 20 years I've enlightened with the idea that, hey, you know what? If a country declares war on you, and then two countries do, and then one country starts landing an army in the country that's right next to your border, it's kind of like you've got an issue you've got to deal with. And people don't know that. People think, oh, the Germans, they just invaded France. They just invaded Russia. You know, they were making war. Well, no. But, of course, they don't teach anything in schools anymore, leave alone that simple detail, like a timeline. You know, if they taught the proper timeline, you could deduce it for yourself.
There's an interesting thing happening in China where, I mean, the figures are absolutely scary. I mean, they're talking about 250 million people have gotten COVID after all the lockdowns and all the draconian, you know, measures to stop it. It's worse. And that the people are possibly starting to rise up against the Chinese regime. And I mean, to me, things like that are, you know, breathe some hope into the situation. And that's something I'm watching really carefully. Not that I can do anything about it, but other than report it in my blog, but I think it's an important event to watch.
Steve, throw in your blog, identify your blog for those who might want to follow up.
It's newsfollowup.com, all one word, newsfollowup.
Paul, I can't tell you how happy I am with all your comments and contributions today. I'm extremely pleased. Mitch wanted to throw in that Bibi is back. You know, he's now serving his fifth term as PM of Israel. It's outrageous, but there it is.
All right.
Well, you know, regarding what you said about China, you know, we shall see. I mean, the only good thing, if you could call it that, about these people is they make things so bad that it turns against them. In other words, they just don't know when to stop. I still remember what an old boss of mine once said. He was an old Texas boy. It was a job I had in 1980 as a very young man. And he was talking about, and I had no awareness of these things. And he said, the curse of the Jews is they do not know that you are angry with them. You know, they do not know. They don't know when it is to stop, that you're going to just completely lose your temper. And that was, quote, their biblical curse. And, you know, it was just one of those things I just remember in retrospect.
Yeah, so there's something that I remember also. I actually have a degree in just an undergrad degree in sociology. And I remember in a class them talking about populations under threat. And mostly I think from a natural, but possibly, civil threats. Is that when a population like in Africa is under threat, they actually produce more, the birth rate goes up in response to that threat. So if you're talking about the Great Replacement or any threat of the population by the elite, it is possible, although, you know, we'll just have to wait and see, is that threat in itself will manifest a increase in the power and maybe the number of the population itself. I think that there's a battle going on where the populists are forced, because of their awakening, the populists are forcing the hand of the elite to show their hand and show what they're doing. And in the process, we understand more what they do and can defeat them, because what we're forcing them to do by standing up to them. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm done.
Steve, it's just been wonderful. Paul, I've just been ecstatic about all your contributions. Add further thoughts of your own, Paul, before we have to conclude today.
Well, I don't really know anything else of significance I have to add, but I will send you right up to the show, Jim. I'll send you the link that I mentioned, and just take a perusal of some of these stories of the ritual murder and child sacrifice over the centuries. And again, it's a lengthy read, but just, you know, take in some of it and you'll have the gist of, you know, what has been kept from all of us and what other cultures have been aware of over time.
Well, I do appreciate that, Paul. Stephen, I've just been delighted to have you here today. You would like to add a final thought?
Oh, I think my final thought would just be to get back to the idea of evolutionary psychology will take care of this, that human nature, in a collective sense, that honors and serves the rights of the individual, will actually eventually take care of this situation, but it could take a long, long time, possibly way past our lifetimes. That's my hope.
Well, certainly one agenda item of the far left that's not going to go down well from an evolutionary point of view is eating bugs. We've evolved as carnivores. We would never eat bugs. I mean, this is just insane to promote that agenda, but they're going all out to deceive and manipulate and destroy the human species with a considerable success so far. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Spend as much time with your friends, your family, your loved one this weekend. Literally, we do not know how much time we have left.
Thanks for your forum, Jim, so much. You're a very important person in our quest.
Stephen, welcome to have you.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...